Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Michael, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the new Commitment Buddies program. Thanks for joining us on this side of things today, Michael.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jen.
We're coming up to the end of the, not really the end quite yet, but we're the first quarter of the Commitment Buddies program is coming to a close next month, and so the registration for the new quarter, I believe, is now open. And so we thought it would be fun to hear directly from someone who has had the experience. So thanks for being with us to talk about your experience.
Yes, I'm delighted to be here.
So what have you seen?
Do you want me to describe the program a little bit? Would that be helpful?
That would be lovely. Yes, please.
Okay. So it's you sign up or register just like you would for Reflective Listening Buddies. And so I'm a participant, and I get paired with a buddy, my commitment buddy. Mm-hmm. And once a day in the morning, I text my commitment buddy, and I say, this is what I'm committing to for today.
Yep.
And then the day happens. And then at the end of the day, before 8 o'clock in the evening, I text my buddy and say, I did my commitments, or I didn't do my commitments. I forgot to mention one piece. So after I text my buddy in the morning what my commitments are going to be, then my buddy texts me back with a very wordy answer, which is Gesho.
Gesho. Uh-huh. Yes. No matter what, whether the commitment is this or that or it's just simply Gesho.
Gesho. Yeah. One word. And then again, as I mentioned, at the end of the day, I text my buddy again before 8 p.m. and I say, I did my commitments or I didn't do my commitments. And I get the same wordy response back, which is Gesho.
Yes. Yep. And if you forget about your, even to send the text,
yes,
then your buddy would simply send a text saying a text was not received.
Mm-hmm.
Gesho.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And just to briefly put in there, there is some, I don't know if flexibility is quite the word, but as folks sign up for it, it might be that you choose to have one commitment that you're doing every day. Maybe you want to make sure you call into the year-long retreat every day. And so you wouldn't necessarily be reiterating your commitment each day. You might just be saying, okay, for the duration of the program, I am going to participate in the year-long retreat every day. And at the end of the day, I just report, yes, kept my commitment, or no, I didn't keep my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, my buddy will just write back Gesho.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, each person really gets to structure what their commitment is and when they're going to be, like for you, you're sending a morning text and an evening text. Other, you know, someone may only be sending an evening text to say whether or not they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some kind of each person can say how I'm going to structure my commitment. But the point
yes.
is that there's someone on the other end who I'm reporting that to, and they're acknowledging that report. Yeah.
Yes. And it's interesting because when I read the description of the program for the first time, I thought, oh my goodness, this is good. This is big. And that's exactly been my experience. It's been great. And when I text in the morning, I look at my day and I think, okay, you know, what's important and what do I want to accomplish? And it's sort of in the realm of, I don't put the super easy stuff on there. You know, I don't put on having lunch, you know, because I'm going to have lunch. And I don't put the impossible stuff on there. I put on there the things that I need a little extra oomph, a little help to get me to do it. And what I've noticed over time is that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate specializes in telling me what I should be doing and then preventing me from having the time or the resources to do it.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. We can laugh
it's
at it when we see
crazy.
It necessarily, but it's horrible, isn't it? I was just looking at that today. It's cruel, right? I mean, it's
yes.
the perfect way to torture someone. Well, here's what your priorities should be. So first of all, I have no say in it, even though it's my life, right? No, here's what you should be doing, and here's what you shouldn't be doing. And now here, I'm going to go and do everything I can to sabotage you, to prevent you from having the time, the energy, the desire to do it, and then beat you up afterwards.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, you know, I look at my day and I think, okay, what's important to me today? What is life calling me to do? What can I use some support with? And then I send my morning text off. And when I get that response, that first guest show, what occurs to me is, okay, game on. Let the games begin. Uh-huh. Is this going to happen or is it not going to happen? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to have to tell somebody whether I did or I didn't.
And I can't fudge it because I just put it right down there. It's all in that text, right? I can't say, well, you know, kind of, sort of, it's there, black and white. And then
yes.
I love that, game on. And I'm projecting that game on is such a kind of, you know, sometimes we talk about in practice, we're up on our toes, right? We're really
yes.
here. You know, got my racket back.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So if it's, yeah, and as you mentioned, it's specific. So if it's 10 push-ups, yeah. then, you know, it's pretty clear whether that happened or it didn't happen at the end of the day.
Right. Right.
And it go ahead.
Go ahead. You go.
I was just going to say, it brings what I was listening, I participated in the Compassionate Scheduling Program this past weekend, and I was just thinking that I would be talking today and everything, it all comes together in this, you know, one thing.
Yes.
And so there's the compassionate schedule. And now I've added the accountability piece. It's not just me finding the willingness, hoping that I can, where is center? I know center's around here somewhere. I remember I had some commitments for today, but it's bringing sangha, it's bringing accountability. It feels like it brings everything together to support me to be life, to allow life to flow through me, in the way that's best, as best I can see it, with Sangha there to support me and hold me accountable.
Well, that really is amazing, the way you tied all those pieces together. And so that really, that powerful, you know, Ashwini did the, as you say, the scheduling workshop with us. And so bringing conscious awareness to what's happening in my days, how are those decisions being made? Because as you mentioned earlier, for a lot of us, those decisions are not being made at all. They're being dictated to me. I'm being controlled, right, by what the voices say I should and shouldn't do and all of that. So I begin to bring awareness to that, and then to have that accountability and the support. And that piece of every morning where you're describing looking at your day, I mean, that's huge right there, right? Because, I mean, basically you're starting out your day in presence, looking at it consciously, which, I mean, that's a micro version of what Best Year Yet talks about, like how the percentage of how few people ever stop to look at what are my priorities? What do I actually want in life? How do I want to participate in life? Almost no one does that. And you're talking about doing that on a daily basis and then putting it in the text. So, I mean, one of the things I love is I can imagine, you know, in comes the stupid dust. What was I supposed to be doing today? Well, I don't know. Let me look at the text. It's right here on my phone. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I do that. I open up, okay, what were my priorities today? What were my commitments? And I open up the text.
Wow.
And and it's later in the day as we get closer to 8 p.m. where I'm going to have to report. It's like, okay, we got to check in to see what happened.
That's right. We got 10 push-ups to do and we got to mow that lawn and
yes. Exactly. Yes. And the other thing I noticed is there was a this project that I've been wanting to do for a while, you know, and again, as I said earlier, conditioning nags me, oh, that would be a great idea. Why don't you do that? That would be so helpful. And then there's never any time. And so what I did with my commitment was, to make it manageable. Okay, I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day. I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day on this.
Brilliant.
Put the bar low. Okay, what needs to be done now to move this thing a little bit further along? You know, and it's just genius because before long, the whole thing is done.
That's right.
And
I love that process.
And it's really helpful.
It is really
great.
Helpful. I mean, that's so perfect because, you know, a big thing like that, that's for A, it's big, right? And conditioning is going to point that out a lot. Well, that's new, right? There's so many steps in that. And plus, I mean, it's
yes.
not that important, right? It's not like life and death. It's not like your car insurance mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is. And so what a brilliant insight to, and I would project that comes from how supported you are. You're realizing, wow, I'm really keeping these commitments because there's this accountability piece, because I've said it out loud, because basically I've put it in presence instead of it sitting in conditioned mind where it's going to get sabotaged. When I bring it into Sangha, into presence, it's supported instead of sabotaged. Then you get an experience of how transformative that is. So then it drops in. Oh my gosh, well, there's this other thing that I've actually really been wanting to do. How about I just take little tiny steps, put them in here, in that each day, and then before you know it, the thing is actually accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Such a
it's
good
great.
Process. It really is.
It is a good process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other two things and two other small things, because I know we're at time here.
Yeah. Turn it over to Michael, you know.
Yes. So at the end of the day, when I've sent the text, if I've done the commitments, not done the commitments, that's it. No self-hate.
Wow.
It's done. It's
wow.
over.
Huge.
It's yeah. totally forgotten. It's whatever it was is whatever it was. And that's
yeah.
it.
Oh, that is so big. Yeah. Wow. No reviews. Just done.
Yep.
Which, of course,
yep.
I would imagine just increases the enthusiasm for the next day instead of, oh, geez, another day where I'm going to get beaten about what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last small thing I'll say is that when I've done my commitments, and I've sent the text, it's like get out of jail free card. It's like, oh, I'm free.
Wow.
Oh, I said I was going to do that. And then I did it.
I did it.
Oh, but now I'm here. Oh, this is great.
Wow. You know, Michael, that really reminds me of that line in the year-long retreat on that one day, the assignment where it says we're training to keep our commitments, not to not keep our commitments.
Right.
And you're pointing out exactly why. Because not because the content of any one particular thing is necessarily right or wrong or whatever, but because it gives us an experience of who we are, and there's so much freedom in that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and speaking so articulately to this new program. I'm hoping that lots of folks are going to jump in, and I'm going to imagine that you're going to sign up again. Sounds like
that's a correct assumption there, Jen.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and I will at this point turn the show over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Take care. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Michael. That was very fun.
It was fun. Yes, yes. I enjoyed it.
We have some great programs in this practice, don't we?
Incredible.
And incredible. You know, they all come from somebody saying, you know, what would help me is, or, you know, what? How about if we, and people go, okay, well, that sounds good. Sure, let's try that. And we never know. Is it, you know, is it going to be brilliant? Is it going to be a bust? We don't know. And then there's something like this, and, you know, it's really helpful to people and just becomes part of what we do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a real win to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. It's been a great gift. I have announcements here.
All right.
In stressful times, we can turn to practice for support, and one of the most compassionate tools we have is recording and listening. A new 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. The new class is on Thursdays starting June 18th.
All right. It's another great one.
Yes. Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our longest-lived and most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts July 15th.
Perfect example of what we were just talking about, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that program has been with us forever. Because it just, you know, so facilitating is such a big part of what we do in this practice, and we encourage people to learn to facilitate so that they can facilitate everywhere in the world and with their family and friends and all of those kinds of things. And then people intelligently said, how? How do you do that? And so are we going to try to teach all of these people individually how to do it? Well, somebody came up with, well, how about if we start a program and we pair people up and they can practice together, and the people who are good at it can model it for the people who are just learning, and away we go. And years later, right? We've been doing that for years.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Yes. That one's been great also. And as we just heard earlier, is conditioning talking you out of the commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy program, which begins July 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a couple of reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic and about 5 minutes in length is great.
Wait.
Okay, I think we are ready here, Sherry.
All right.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jenny in Mexico.
Hey, Jenny.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
What are you up to?
Let's see. I have your books next to me because I read them often, and the one that I read the most often is There's Nothing Wrong With You. And I was just thinking today that there's always going to be something wrong with me because I'm overweight. And it'll be that way until I die. You know, no matter how much weight I lose or no matter, you know, how thin I get, or there's always going to be something wrong with me because I'm overweight. And it just... it doesn't make sense because it doesn't go along with what we practice.
Yeah. Well, of course, the first obvious place to start is, why do you believe that?
Because it's been conditioned into me from my parents since I was in elementary school.
And so now, of course, this is probably a bad example because of what you just said about the book that you read the most often. But when you were in elementary school, were you a pretty good reader?
Yeah.
Yeah? And And so if I had put War and Peace in front of you, you'd say, oh, yeah,
no.
I got that. No problem.
Not. No, definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm going to think that maybe that's not quite true, right?
Yeah,
because when you were in elementary school, you just didn't have all the information that you have now.
Right.
And so you were not the person that you were when you were in elementary school.
Definitely not.
And Definitely not. And if somebody wanted you to behave the way you behaved when you were in elementary school, you would say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Because when we were in elementary school, you know, we were supposed to follow all these rules and people were constantly telling us what to do. And we really didn't have much choice about it and all of that. We're not doing that anymore. And yet, it sounds as if there's an opening to believe some very bad information that people got for themselves and then passed along to you when you were very young. And maybe it's just flat out time to stop buying into that.
But what if it's true?
Well, I can promise you it isn't.
Okay.
How could it be true? Now, let's just stop a minute here. Okay? Let's just stop a darn minute.
Yeah.
How could it be true?
I don't know. It just seems to be that it always has been true.
It always has been true, but we just established that how it's always been. My teacher, in fact, flat out said, that's the way it's always been is the worst excuse in the world. So, proving that you are not alone in holding that belief, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's completely bogus. But right. The only way it'll be true, in quotes, and I hate to even apply that word to this, but the only way it'll be true is if you continue to believe it. Because
right.
If you do, you'll make it true. Not that it is true, but you'll make it true.
Like it becomes a part of my reality.
That's right. And it sounds like it's already done a pretty good job of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even when I was thin and I look back on pictures and I'm like, gosh, you were way thin back then. Mm-hmm. And in high school, and it was still there, and they're still there, like everybody was still trying to get me to lose weight. And so it wasn't true then.
Well, yeah, and isn't that a good thing to notice?
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that good to notice? And doesn't it kind of make you wonder what was wrong with those people?
It does. It does.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that that's a really good thing to wonder. Now, we don't have to make them wrong.
No.
We don't have to do that because there's really no percentage in that. We know what happened to them. Right? They got the same conditioning. Somebody did that to them. And so they set out to do that to you. Okay, that's just how it works. We know that's just how it works. That said, it's really important that the cycle ends with you.
Yeah. And so I just have to not believe that story.
Yes, and there, which is easier said than done, right? Now,
right,
one of the things that you've got going for you that is really powerful, really powerful, is that you have already seen for yourself that it's not true. You were believing that you needed to lose weight and that there was something wrong with you because you didn't lose weight when you actually didn't need to lose weight.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, yeah, so that is a powerful piece of information that you have.
Right.
And so it's not like you have to, stand on one leg and grit your teeth and close one eye and make yourself believe this thing that every part of you believes is true.
Right.
You know that it's not true.
Okay.
And so what's required then is not adding something. You're not going to add a belief to the beliefs that you already have. You want to let go a belief that is false.
False.
Now, of course, I think all beliefs are false, but that's probably another conversation. So you want to let go this bogus piece of programming that you've got,
right,
that says there's something wrong with you because you're overweight. So the way we do that, helpful to have the way to do that, right? Do you have a recording and listening practice, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right. So every time that you hear that message, you stop and you say, I just heard a message that's a lie. What's really true is there's nothing wrong with me, however I look. There's nothing wrong with anybody, however they look.
Right.
Right. Now, yeah. If you have a recording and you're in a place where you can listen to a recording that reinforces that for you, do that. But okay. if even if you don't have that recording, you're training yourself. Sounds like somebody's remodeling your house.
Sorry. It's loud.
That, huh?
I'm sorry, it's loud in here.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just joking with you. So what you're doing is training yourself that every time you hear that message, you remind yourself, oh, that's a lie. Oh,
right.
That's right. And then you turn your attention to what is true, because you're an intelligent human being. And even though we're all deeply conditioned in the ways we're deeply conditioned, you know that how a person looks does not determine their worth.
Right.
And so it could be a really fun, interesting hobby for you to take up to find people who do not meet society's standards, which is an interesting subject on its own, right? Have you ever talked to your friends, I'm sure you have, about who you think is attractive?
Right. No, I haven't.
Okay, well, that's a really fun thing to do, too. So you realize, there's a guy that you think is really good looking. There's a woman that you think is really beautiful. And you ask other people and they go, well, yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
This is important information because we assume that everybody sees people the same way we do. And they don't. People have really different ideas about what is attractive. But you can find the people who do not meet society's standards for attractive and then look at who they are as a person. Now, one of the people who would get my vote is Gandhi.
That's true.
Yeah, he was not a good-looking guy. Okay. Now, when he was young, he was kind of cute, okay? But by the time he was changing people's lives and changing the world, he was not a handsome guy. Did anybody care?
No.
Did anybody say, oh, no, we can't listen to him talk about love and acceptance and because he's unattractive?
Right.
So making it a whole project for yourself that you are replacing these lies and this bad information, and I'll just throw out this word, ignorance, because our conditioning causes us to ignore what is actually true and so.
Right.
And so you take it on. You take it on as a project to prove to her that all that stuff that was said to her was somebody else's problem, but she doesn't need to take it on.
Okay.
Can you do it?
I can do that. Yeah. I can do that.
I know you can.
Yeah.
Is there more?
No, that's good.
All right. You take care of yourself. And keep in touch and let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, I will.
Give me a report at some point, please. I love reports. I say this stuff to people and they go off and then they never tell me what happened. And I really like to know what happened.
Okay,
right,
I will.
Very good.
I'll be reporting
again.
Thank
you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, good. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. And Sherry, I love that practice of calling in for guidance and getting support with a belief that's causing me to suffer. And, getting the guidance and saying, okay, let me take that and see where I get you with it.
And that's it, Michael. That's exactly it. Because what we don't want to do in any case, but especially with Jenny, is let's replace that belief with another belief. Right? We actually don't want to do that. We want to dismantle these erroneous beliefs, right? And the way to do that is through experimentation. You know, you do the practice, you see what happens. You do the practice, you see what happens. And then, you know, if people do check in, okay, this is what's going on now. This is where I am. Okay, well, how about trying this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then somebody tries it, and they have whatever happens. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, good. Exactly.
Great. Very good.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Ooh. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hello, Todd.
Hi.
What are you
saying? Well, I was just thinking about reporting back, but I don't. Nothing's dropping in that I reported on in the past. Well,
we better give you an assignment so you can report back in.
Thank
right?
you. Well, one is kind of. I think because I was talking to Ashwini about it, and it was right at the beginning of the pandemic, and the markets crashed, and I went into a financial tailspin and a huge ball of suffering, and a Zen coaching opportunity came up, and I was given the guidance to do a two-handed recording weekly about what's true. And yeah, it was a great, great opportunity to watch how the content was money, the content was financial instability, but the process was what's true in the moment was I was in well-being. I was taken care of. Life had my back. I was supported. And it's still an ongoing practice. I do it every morning as part of my other recordings with the year-long retreats and stuff. And so I'm kind of reporting back of practice success on how that dispelled those beliefs that I got to clearly see that I had beliefs and assumptions that my well-being was tied to my financial security, and it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even I would say even before that, Todd, the belief that there's such a thing as financial security.
Thank you. Right. Yeah.
Right? Because that's one that
sure.
so many of us fall for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I just found that the two-hand recording is one it's a great tool in recording and listening that I use often, and it just really allows that person who's really, really suffering over, you know, some content area and just to, you know, switch hands and have the mentor listen and you know, offer encouragements and you're heard and I understand your, you know, the pain and I understand your suffering and it's such a, you know, and it comes up in a lot of different workshops we do in a lot of different other areas of practice. And it's one that I've heard you encourage so many times, guidance for folks that are in areas of suffering. And it's just one that it's one of my favorites in the tool belt.
Yeah, it never lets us down, does it?
Thank you. No.
It really doesn't. It is always the thing to turn to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for a long time, it's the last thing that it occurs to us to turn to, right? Just
right.
Because that's how it is. And because what we were just talking about, Jenny, because uh-huh. we're so deeply conditioned to
yeah.
go to these deeply conditioned places.
Yes. Yes. It what occurred to me was when you said that we can't see the forest for the trees.
Yes.
Because we're just so in it, like I was just in that so much severe suffering, and then Tree Zen Coaching, the person who is listening, you know, facilitating, saying, well, you know, here's a tool. I see your suffering. I see your process by content, and here's a process to get out of suffering. Would you be willing to, you know, explore it? And you're right, I couldn't see it, even though I had that in my tool belt at the time, but I was too engrossed in I was just...
Yes.
I was in the tailspin. I couldn't get control of the plane, right? Because I'm in the tailspin.
Right.
Can you visualize that? You're
great,
plummeting to the ground.
Oh, that is such a great image.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really takes somebody else to
right.
say,
a co-pilot.
You know, let go of the stick.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's so good.
And the mentor is that co-pilot that's always, you know, that knows how to fly the plane, can pull you out of the tailspin, can level you off, safely land you.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that is really good. And right. and to have compassion for ourselves. We do get into a panic because we haven't had that kind of nurturing support in most of our lives. Now, it's something that we're just learning. We're just getting used to having that kind of support.
Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah, growing up, family, friends, they didn't get any nurturing support, so they certainly wasn't passing it on to me.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Which is how we gain sympathy for all of us.
Sure. Yeah. Great. Yeah,
it's not like there are a lot of people out there who just, you know, life was just cake for them, but they decided to grow up and just be mean to people. You know, because they could. It's not like that.
No, not at all. Not at all. So that's my report.
Well, thank you, Todd. All right. Well,
thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Go happy.
You're welcome.
Go happy.
Go happy. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our Zen Awareness coaching program, and then we will come back and talk with more callers.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Sherry.
Zen Awareness Coaching supports us to look at the content of our lives through the lens of process. Through the 6 weekly sessions, we use content such as relationships, career, money, health, even spiritual practice itself, and get support for looking at it through the eyes of not what, but how. We use the tools of recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to see how we suffer so we can drop that and support the human to live in unconditional love and acceptance. People say that the structure and one-to-one support that coaching offers makes a huge difference in their lives. If you've ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and would like to work with a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Let Zen Awareness Coaching provide the support and structure for living in the how of presence.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Rico. Can you hear me?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico. Yes, we can.
Hi. So, I'm so glad I got on, and it's perfect timing. I'm seeking guidance on something I read on either a peace quote or on the monastery newsletter, and it's about surrender. And something about some of my health struggles, and I've been forced to, it's one thing to be forced to surrender, and it's another thing to deal with a situation where, God, this is really hard to surrender to, particularly when it's for the benefit of others, not for my personal gain or my personal wants and needs. So I'm looking for some guidance on that.
Well, Rico, can you give me a little, because it's not for you.
Well, it was specifically for the Africa Project. And I've tinkered with engine motors and everything for years and years. And a friend of mine had a marine engine that had a very small problem. And he went through a huge expense to get a new engine put in. And the other engine is just sitting in the marine shop, and it's worth a significant amount of money that I was going to rehab and send the proceeds and to the Africa Project. And this is a person I've known for 40 years, and we've been very, very close, and he recently converted to Catholicism, and we meet on that level. I have a similar background, and I just saw him this afternoon. He says, nope, no one's getting that engine. It's just going to live where it is until it gets thrown to the junkyard. Huh. And I'm just kind of struggling with accepting that.
Well, what do you project? I mean, did he say anything? What do you project is going on?
I can't put it together. And the marine shop, I knew the founder. He was about my age, and he helped me out, giving me, I'd buy parts and advice from him for years and years and years in different projects. And now his son has taken over, and I went to see his son and the lead mechanic, and they say, yeah, it's crazy. This is a great engine. It'd be easy to repair, and it's worth thousands and thousands and thousands. But we can't give it up unless we get the release from this person. So I went to my friend. We've been really good friends. And he just says, nope, that engine's going to die where it is. It can go to the junkyard.
Does it feel like something, Rico, that you could do a little facilitating with?
With the person?
To go back and say, I've been looking at it, and could you help me understand where you're coming from with this?
Well,
and not even to convince him of anything, but just to, because that sort of thing is hard on a friendship.
It truly is, and I've really searched. He basically said, the subject is closed. We're never talking about it. Goodbye. And then, so in my entire life, of course, with some of my history and Catholic education and whatnot, sometimes it was really hard for me to surrender. So I realized what's up is not the content of this specific surrender, but it's my relationship to letting go of my agenda, so to speak. Even though it's for the good of others, because after I was kind of shell-shocked by this, I came home and I sat and I said, well, you know, I know three of the mechanics at this shop, and I could let them ask them to call me when it gets put in the junkyard, and I could go. And I said, no, that's not what surrender is. That's kind of like.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is you are complete with this the way it is. You are ready to just say, okay, that's it. It's over now. Now the work is to let it go.
Yes. And what's so curious is I'm really struggling with this because on another note, you know some of my history with the Africa Project, and I just finished a project which took a lot of effort and persistence. It took me a year of working, and we just... we're given word that a significant donation was made to the project. And, oh, wow, isn't that wonderful? Oh, wow, these kids are going to eat. And, oh, thank you for everyone that contributed materials and support. Great. So, yeah, surrender. People donate time and tools and materials. Great. I can surrender. But
what I'm hearing then, if tell me if this is what you're saying, you can surrender if there's a good outcome.
Precisely, that is exactly it.
Uh huh. And in this case, there really isn't a good outcome.
Well, it's I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, in the course of the next 5 years, if there's this engine is worth $4,000, that would feed a lot of kids in Africa.
Yes, which is not the point, right? Which is not the point. Yeah. Well, I'm only saying that because it really is oranges and baseball bats.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we keep going back to yes, but if then surrender is not what's actually going on. Right?
Yep.
And so what we get to is, yes, it would, gosh, it would have been great. Yep, I get all that, and that's not what's happening.
Yep. And it's a lifelong pattern of really chomping at the bit, saying, wait a second, I just can't accept this.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in the last, a couple of days ago was 18th month anniversary of a ultimate surrender I had in a hospital. And wow, I thought that opened the door to surrender. Like, wow, I surrender.
Well, what I hear in that though is, if I have no choice, I'll surrender. But if I can find a way that there is some kind of choice, then the voices are going to continue to be able to do what they do.
Yep. Exactly.
Which is not actually surrender. Right?
No, I understand. It's kind of like a negotiation.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm in a what do they call it? Hostage negotiation?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not like I'm suffering, but it's really, I'm so interested in understanding this process. I'm still not getting it.
Well, I think if I may, you're using the word surrender, and that's not what this is about. You just called it a hostage negotiation, which has nothing to do with surrender.
The hostage negotiation is the egocentric self-hate trying to hijack the acceptance of the situation.
You think? I mean that kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? But if it's
sure
called
does.
If it's called surrender, then that puts you in one position with it. Right? I'm guessing, I'm projecting that there's a piece of and that's gonna mean something's wrong with you as a result of that. Okay? So if you just call it what it is, a hostage situation in which ego is trapped and really doesn't want to be and is fighting and kicking and screaming, then that kind of works. Then you know you're clear about what's going on. But if you start throwing in the word surrender, it's something very different.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
And of course, that is so helpful. I'm so glad that I called, and I had one other question, if there's time, on a similar topic. Is that possible?
As far as I'm concerned.
So
if Michael doesn't pull the plug on us.
I have guidance for a satisfying life, and I read it every day. And one of the guidance of finding comfort or a satisfying life is to celebrate your contributions. Do you remember that?
No, not really. What is this from?
This is, it says, what is it called? I'm reading it now. Ingredients for a Satisfying Life. One, dedicate your life to something.
I'm guessing this is,
It's from you. It's
something from
quotes.
Our practice. Okay.
It's a quote you gave us years ago. Dedicate your life to something you consider worthy. Two, celebrate your contributions. And so I sometimes get caught in understanding the distinction between celebrating contributions and, I don't know, it's not crowing about my achievements, but in that vein, even though I would never say a word.
To me, Rico, what's being pointed at is to celebrate your contribution is not ego's contributions.
Okay. It's life's contribution. It's the heart's contribution. It's wisdom of the heart.
Yes, exactly. So you've been a Buddhist for a really long time, probably longer than you've been a Catholic. I don't know. But you know that perhaps the most basic of all that we're grappling with is there is no you. And so the contribution that we're making is not mine. It's not yours, Sherry Huber, Rico. It's life through this form. And our contribution, I would say, is saying yes to that, not resisting that. Being willing for that. That's our part of it. And the next piece of that is we actually don't even get to take credit for that because, as we know, it's not like we made some grand decision to be willing.
I'm not clear on that last part. I mean, it seems like every morning there's a willingness to renew that dedication, that orientation.
Yes. Yes. And how come you have that willingness and somebody else doesn't?
That's the mystery, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so it's the thing that can help us not be judgmental about other people. When we realize that we didn't make the choices that have landed us where we are, okay? We've been given to and given to and given to and given to. You know, we have been blessed with. And so it's not a matter of I made these really smart choices to be born this way and that way and have this gift and that skill and that talent and that opportunity. None of taking credit for any of that is going to lead us to extreme unhappiness.
If I reflect this, if I'm reflecting this, I would say celebrate your contributions is saying yes to life.
Precisely. And then we can add another element in there, which is being intensely grateful to be allowed to be in the position to contribute what we're contributing.
Sherry, thank you. This is so helpful. I'm going to pass the line to the next call, but it means so much to be part of the Sangha, and I'm so grateful for everyone that makes these calls possible and everything. So,
thank you.
Bows and gacho. Bows and bows and gacho.
Bows and bows and gachos. All right. And again, you know, let me know. Keep in touch. Let me know what you see.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Rico. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. And Sherry, what I got out of the first part of that conversation is the critical choice of language and the specific words and what conditioning makes them mean in my head. You know, what is surrender exactly? It's just fascinating to see how those structures of meaning and suffering get built.
Yes, yes. And so much of it, again, going back to Jenny, so much of it happens to us before we really, before we actually realize what's going on.
Yes.
And so it gets in there, and then it's built upon and built upon and built upon and built upon. So we'll often say in practice, it's important to go back and question the original premise, but where the heck is that original premise?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you double muted there, perhaps?
Yes, I was double muted. It's Renee again.
Yes.
Hey, Renee. Oh, hey, Renee. Long time no talk.
I know, I can't believe this. But I had something exciting to tell you, so I thought I'd give it a shot. So,
good.
After the call this morning, I got triggered, you know, ego got triggered, and I recorded, first I didn't record and listen, and I was kind of, it was obsessive thinking going on, and about this topic, and then it was like, wait a minute, I just had this conversation, I'm going to record and listen, and do the two-handed recording, and so I did it, and it popped me right out of it.
Aha. Now Renee, that's kind of what I was attempting to point out with the conversation with Rico, right? Because it really just dropped in, didn't it? It wasn't anything you were trying to do. So that's when we just say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, because left to myself, I probably wouldn't have gotten there. And yet you were just kind of magically taken to the place where you needed to be.
Yeah, yeah. And you mean from the recording and listening, or just the fact that it dropped in to record and listen?
It dropped in to record and listen.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, that is, it is magical. And I think the more, you know, well, I'm pretty sure the more you do it, the more you remember to do it. And
that's right. The more magical
the more
it gets.
More magical it gets. And what basically the mentor said was, there is no wisdom in that conversation. There is no solution. And so just drop it and be here. And if there's a solution, then it will come. And there's something in me that
and
wants
sure
that.
Enough.
So, that wants that solution. Yep.
Yes, and is willing to let go of what we've been clinging to in order to have that.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a big part of it.
Right. Yes, it is a big part of it. And just, you know, when I wasn't recording, before I recorded and listened, and I did a full two-handed recording, you know, where I'd let the person talk and then I let the mentor talk, listen to it, and did that whole process. Before that, it was very obsessive, and there was no clarity, and it feels like it's just got its hooks in you, like you cannot get out of it.
Kind of Todd's image of being in free fall.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
You're just caught.
Yeah. You're just caught in it, and those are the things that will keep you caught in it for years.
Mm-hmm.
the same process.
Yeah, it's so. All right. Well,
thank you.
I love happy endings. Not that it's an ending, but but it is a happy on the way.
It's a happy in the moment situation that will happen again and again, I hope.
Right. All of it. Getting caught, being there, getting the message, getting free, getting caught, getting the message, getting free. And as it goes along like that, we're just seeing more and more and more and more. And that's the delight in it, right?
Yes. That is a delight. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you for letting me talk to you twice.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Renee.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. And Sherry, in the interest of time, I'm going to go straight to our next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
We can hear you.
This is Melissa in Arizona.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello. I was really appreciating what Renee was just saying about, you know, you can be suffering with something for years, and then it just, something happens. And I've been struggling for a really long time with, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it good enough, and I'm not going to be able to do it good enough. And so I wrote into the email class about that. And the answer that I received, it was like getting this glass of ice water right in ego's face. It was like so fantastically, it was fantastic. I mean, ego wasn't comfortable, but it was like a big, like snap, like a big, like, wow, like the whole framing of the way that I see it. Because the answer was about, like, well, you know, like, kind of like looking at, like, how egotistical it is in some way to think that everything's up to you. there's, like, when you go to do something, there are so many other forces in the world that have to do with how something goes. You know, there are so many other forces that couldn't possibly be just up to you. And so just completely reframing that in a different way, like just completely getting me out of the spin of, like, you know, internally being the perpetrator who's like, you know, you've got to get this right, and then being the victim who feels like, oh my God, I've got to get this right. And just completely coming, like that whole story is not what's happening, even though it's been my experience for years that that's what's happening. And that's not actually what's happening. You know, what's happening is this kind of complete blindness to the fact that there is so much more contributing, you know, kind of like the boat engine. There's so many other factors that we can't even imagine that are contributing to why things happen or don't happen. It's just been so wonderful the last 24 hours to be with that, and to be with, like, kind of like, you know, when you relax a little bit and your shoulders come down because you're not carrying the whole world on them anymore. And I'm really looking forward to practicing with this and having it be more than something that just, like, you know, came and went, like building it into, you know, how I see, you know, my contribution is just one contribution. It's one piece.
Well, the thing that I appreciate so much about what you just said is that perspective of there's so much more in this
than we realize. And if you had been allowed to live the rest of your life in that probably pretty below the radar notion that it's all up to me, you know, we could just see you dying in the trenches, right? Mm-hmm. Always listening to, I'm not good enough, this isn't good enough, I'm never going to get it right, until finally you just give up and die. Right. But we're blessed that it doesn't work. And the twin blessing is that our lives are in a position where we are open. This is, again, back to the conversation with Rico and how it's not like we set it up this way. We weren't smart enough to make it happen this way. But our lives are such that we're open to other perspectives, right? So So we talk about something in a place where we're going to get very different information than the information that we're getting inside our head. And because we're open, which is a wonderful magic about life unfolding and enlightenment slowly dawning, right? So we're open, and something like you describe happens, and we find a level of freedom that we couldn't even imagine, because the place that we've been looking didn't have the answer.
Right. Oh, yes. It's like this beautiful thing that Ashwini said a few days ago about how surrender, you know, that if you're really in surrender, then ego can't possibly have the answer to its own question. Can't possibly. You can't get it there.
It
can't come from there. And so its whole framing of the problem, you know, its whole framing of I'm not going to do it good enough, the answer isn't even in that picture. It isn't even part of that. It is, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, but the piece is actually part of a different puzzle. You know,
the picture on the box is not the puzzle you're putting together. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So just so much gratitude for, you know, those moments that we have where the whole frame breaks, like the whole frame of the whole question just breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And from ego's perspective, these are tragic moments in our lives. And from the heart's perspective, we just want to fall down on the ground and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I would never have thought of this. I would not have put this together. It is grace. It is so far beyond anything that I could have ever been capable of. And there's no self-hate in any of that. It's just an acknowledgement of how life really works.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I got to say, that first moment, it's like that first moment that the water hits that face. But that's what it takes, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
Well, it's the people who do this kind of thing. I've never been one of them. But, you know, you're a person who wakes up groggy in the morning and you're just not quite all. And so what you've realized is if you get up and walk out and jump into an ice cold pool of water, you wake up really quickly. Right? And if you don't, then you're just going to bumble around for God knows how long, listening to voices tell you what a slug you are. So after a while, we go for the ice water because it's a lot of pain, but it's fast.
It's fast, and it's actually invigorating. Because all of a sudden there's all this life energy that rushes to the surface. Like there's all this vitality that just like bursts forth. And
what it feels like really to be with life instead of with the ego. You know, that's one of my big rants, because it makes me so incredibly sad that people think a low level of unhappiness or frustration or lack of energy or whatever it is how life is, when it's actually how ego is. And so when we have that kind of experience that you're describing, and we're really with life, we realize, oh my gosh, well, this is a complete, I think I spend a lot of time not actually alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have fun, huh?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Great to chat with you.
Well, I'm happy for you. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. And wow, another fabulous conversation and lots of fabulous conversations tonight. I feel very blessed.
Very fun. Yeah, me too. I love to be here for this stuff, don't you?
Such a privilege. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. So appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, and thanks to all of our callers and all our listeners. And go happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.